Welcome back to Through the Word. Pastor Jonathan here, and today we jump into chapter 12. What's the greatest gift you've ever received? I remember waking up one Christmas morning to find a giant box under the tree. The original Nintendo Entertainment System. With Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt with that cool little gun. Old school now, but very new school at the time. After all the carnality of the previous chapters, Paul is ready to move on to better things. And spiritual gifts is always an amazing truth to dive into. Paul will spend the next three chapters revealing the truth about these gifts to us. Verse 1. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Listen, I've been in a full range of churches, from Pentecostal congregations to the most stoic of congregations. And I can tell you, our past experiences can result in a bad understanding of spiritual gifts. Maybe it's easy for you to dismiss the use of these gifts because you look for a rational, materialistic explanation for everything. I have a background in the sciences, so I can easily fall into this trap. Or perhaps you see spiritual gifts behind all sorts of phenomena and fall into near superstition with your views. Over the next few chapters, Paul is going to sort out these various issues and explain the truth about spiritual gifts. Verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Paul names 9 gifts here, but this list is not exhaustive. There are other lists of spiritual gifts sprinkled throughout the scriptures. One pastor I know used to start his teaching on spiritual gifts way back in Exodus with the gift of craftsmanship that was given to Bezalel and Oholiab for the building of the tabernacle. There are a lot of spiritual gifts, just as there are a lot of ways to serve and a lot of works that can be done. But they all have the Spirit as their source. God displays His miraculous power in a variety of ways, but it is always the same God at work in believers. And here is the biggest problem. It's easy for believers to be focused on their own gifts and believe that those who have different gifts are not as holy or not working for God enough. But God is the one who distributes the gifts, and there are reasons for the diversity of gifts. Verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So, here's an important truth. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised in John 14 that He would send the Holy Spirit to be with us forever. But there are times when the Holy Spirit manifests Himself in our lives in a more apparent way. These gifts that He pours out on us are for the profit of all believers. Every believer has spiritual gifts, and they're for the church as a whole. These gifts are not for our own benefit. We can't choose to be selfish with these gifts. They are to be used for the building up of the body of Christ. This is one of the most important reasons that Christians must gather together. When we gather, we are all supposed to use our gifts for the building up of the church. The Bible never describes the church as a group that gathers together just to be fed from a pulpit. It describes a family that serves each other. You may be built up by a pastor using his gift of teaching, but how are you using your gifts to build up the church? Verse 8. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. Paul begins his list of gifts with messages of wisdom. This is the unique ability to speak the wisdom of God, especially in critical situations. Paul uses this gift before the Sanhedrin in Acts 23. The second gift Paul mentions is messages of knowledge. This is the unique ability to speak a truth that could only be revealed by God. In Acts 27, Paul uses this gift when revealing that the ship he was on was about to crash. The next gift is something that all believers have, but some seem to have in abundance. Faith. It's the ability to trust God in all circumstances, as Peter did when he walked out of the boat onto the stormy sea. Then follows the gifts of healing and miracles. These often operate in conjunction with the gift of faith. When God gives a person the faith to perform these great works, they're able to go forth in powerful displays of God's power. Paul ends his series of gifts dealing with speech, prophecy, discerning of spirits, and tongues. Prophecy is often confused with preaching, but the word here is used for divinely inspired speech, not the gift of preaching, where the word of God is taught carefully and methodically. These words of prophecy are God's message in particular situations, always in accordance with his word, and work in the church. Discerning spirits is the ability to tell the difference between true and false doctrine, between what is from the spirit and what is from the word, the flesh, or the devil. Satan can work miracles and sound very persuasive. The gift of discernment is useful in knowing the difference. Now the last two gifts deal with tongues, both speaking in tongues and their interpretation. Tongues are a personal prayer language whereby the believer can communicate with God beyond our mind's understanding. Now, these two gifts are probably the most misunderstood and misused of all the gifts. Tongues have an important place in the prayer life of a believer, but are not as important in corporate settings as other gifts. When the gift of tongues is used in a church setting, it must be closely controlled, and only when there is someone with the gift of interpretation present, so that all can be built up. We'll spend some more time with this gift in chapter 14. Again, this is not an exhaustive list of gifts, and Paul's emphasis isn't even the gifts themselves. Verse 11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Six times in this short list, the Spirit of God is mentioned. It's important that we remember the centrality of the Spirit here, because it's so easy to become divided over these gifts. We can often fall into the trap of thinking that certain gifts are given because a person is particularly spiritual or because they're closer to God. Tongue speakers can look down on those who prophesy, and those who heal can look down on those with other gifts. But if these are all gifts from the same Lord, and all have a unity of purpose, the building of the body of Christ, we should reflect that same unity amongst ourselves. This is why spiritual gifts are never given as criteria for positions of leadership in the church, but maturity and character are. God can grant anyone spiritual gifts at any moment, but character is built over time. Paul spends the rest of the chapter comparing the body of Christ with a physical body. Just as a body is made up of different parts that all work together, so the body of Christ should work together with all of our different gifts, talents, and abilities to further the gospel of Jesus. That's it for today. Go read 1 Corinthians 12 and join us tomorrow for one of the most famous chapters in the entire Bible on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.